taping today is September 21st, and we are learning about Rosh Hashanah as a day of solemnity or joy, possibly both. And this is a two-part series. Next week we'll be discussing the same question about Yom Kippur, although there will not be any shmir because it's a fast day. Please keep that in mind. Okay, so we had said it's called Simcha B'Rosh Hashanah, and the first thing that comes to come across our mind is that it is a yontif, and on yontif there's a din of simcha. Now the Torah refers to certain yomim tovim v'samachta b'chagecha, and specifically the Torah tells us to have more joy on some holidays than others. On Sukkot and Devarim it says twice to be happy. On Shavuos it says once to be happy. On Pesach it doesn't say to be happy at all. So the Mefarshim deal with why they have that dichotomy with certain holidays. But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is very rarely mentioned in the Torah, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur not mentioned in Devarim, not mentioned in Shmos, just mentioned in Vayikra, the Torah certainly doesn't tell us to be happy, but they are Yomim Tovim. So next week we'll see some amazingly surprising things about Yom Kippur, and some of the things that our Chazal say they did on Yom Kippur. But I start with a Ba'er Heitev. I have to start someplace, so I start from a Ba'er Heitev, source number one, Tav Kuf Pei Dalid, and Sif Gimel. See at the top, Arizal. He quotes the Ari, Greek capitalist of the 15th century, and he quotes him saying, "Is Nohag Livkos B'Rosh Hashanah B'Yom Kippur?" His minhag was to cry on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. V'amar ki mi she'eno bocha b'yamim elu, that someone who does not cry on those days, ein nishmaso tova, he doesn't have a good soul. U'shlema, doesn't have a complete soul. Gam amar kol mi she'boche oz me'atzmo b'v'chi yagadola me'elov, that if someone does cry a lot on those days, oso sho'a da'inin lo b'veiz din shalmala v'nafsho mageshe su'balo ha'v'chi me'elov. The cry goes right up to the Beis Din, upper Beis Din, and I'm sure you've heard of the Shara D'Maos, the gate of cry of tears is always open. Right? So, but the minhag of the Arizal was to cry not only in Yom Kippur but also in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, look at the Maaseh Rav. He said the minhagim of the Vilna Gaon. Rosh Hashanah ain't marichin b'tefillah yoseh midai. Don't daven too long, especially when one of the days of Rosh Hashanah is a Friday, like this year. Because it's Shabbos that afternoon, right? Shein nisanos bo ad chatzos kimo shara yavim tovim. Davening should not go past midday. It's not on the fast. And when you fast past midday, which here is 1 o'clock, then you are...
That's kimo shara yavim tovim. So on other holidays, it's okay to fast
No, you should try to finish before midday, which is very easy to do on the other yavim tovim, because the davening isn't so long. Even though the davening of Rosh Hashanah is so long, you should make every attempt. Maybe we can leave the doors open so give a little cross ventilation.
Just like you don't fast on
Right? You shouldn't fast on Rosh Hashanah.
But you don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. It's not even happening to fast on
Rosh Hashanah. No,
the
lush
is
confusing.
Yeah, right.
Because the.
Like,
you do
fast. It looks like. I see what
you see. Because the. It is a Yantuf, and we should not be fasting on that Yantuf. Right? We shouldn't be fasting the whole day. We should be fasting till Chatzos. Just on Shavuos, it's very easy to daven and finish by Chatzos. But in Rosh Hashanah, where the davening is so long, be careful. So the yeshiva world, they're very careful with this, and what they do is they break after Shacharis, they have a breakfast, and then they go back and take care of business, and they daven until nice late in the afternoon. The problem with that is that we're not supposed to eat before we hear shofar. And once you start hearing shofar, when are you going to break then? In the middle of Musaf, what are you going to do?
What do they do about that?
So they just said, they go, I'm very mocked never to take even a drop of water before davening, maybe a little tea before. So you can get up and maybe get up before dawn and eat something. I don't know what to say. So how do you cover the bases on all these things? Because the Gemara does say that if you fast past Chatzos, it's like you're fasting. Right?
Even if it's not conscious,
there's no kavanah. Yeah, you don't mean to fast for the day. All right, but all right, we get everyone does. You know, the yeshiva world and the yeshiva world, they do break for food in the yeshivas. All right, so what does he say? He says, don't make sure to try to finish early. Nimshach ad chatzos mispalin mincha kodem seuda ve'enomrim avinu malkeinu. Right. So. And then he says, "Ve'en livkos b'Rosh Hashanah. Don't cry on Rosh Hashanah. K'mavur be'Ezra al tivku." We're about to see those psukim. And you're not supposed to cry on Rosh Hashanah. And what's written in Sefer in the Arizal, Vilna Gaon doesn't mention it specifically, but he's clearly addressing that. And he says that one should not cry on Rosh Hashanah because it's not a day of crying; it's a yontif, as we see in Sefer Ezra. V'hikpid lufamim lenagen hakadosh shachar musaf lechavod yontif. Some people after musaf they should sing an upbeat and joyful tune for Kaddish, that we finished the davening, we heard the shofar, we're going to have a good year. You should have an upbeat, like some kind of, it could be even a modern tune that people are familiar with, as opposed to the other Kaddishes before the Shemoneh Esrei that have what the Maharil calls Misinai. These are you can't part depart and do the wrong Kaddish. Is Gadol, that's Shachris. Is Gadol, that's Musaf. Right? You have to make sure that the Kaddish has the right tune. But the Kaddish after Musaf, you can play around with. Right? In order to bring an upbeat nature to the day. And what is he talking about? Nehemiah's chapter 3 that he's referring to. It says, in the beginning of the seventh month, the people gathered, look, at Shar Hamayim. This is an ancient source for
Tashlich.
Now, in Yerushalayim does not have a natural water supply. If you're in Yerushalayim, I was in Yerushalayim once for Rosh Hashanah. Since then, they found some water down underneath the David's tunnel.
So one's not.
That's what they just found. They just discovered.
That's where they took us.
Yeah. So that's where maybe some people go now, we went to a reservoir in Beit Pagan. We just went to Sharamayim, a gathering of, it was an indoor area. the point is that they went to what's called Sharamayim, and so some say that this is an early source for Tashlich. And it says that the people were crying because they remembered the previous grandeur of the temple. They were just rebuilding Yerushalayim now. Now, there are two different times where they gathered to cry. One, it gives the date, the 24th of Tishrei. And one, it just says the seventh month came, which is understood to mean the beginning of the month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the people are crying, and and Ezra admonished them, Nehemiah admonished them, Al tisablu va'al tivku. It's a joyful day today. Now it never says what day of the seventh month, but it says the seventh month came. So the Vilna Gaon is darshaning, as do Chazal, that this was Rosh Hashanah, and he told them that this is not a day of crying. What about the other day, why does it say the 24th of Tishrei? So that's the Yerushalmi that says they avoided crying on the 23rd of Tishrei because it was Yisru Chag. We have an ancient source for Yisru Chag from this very same story. The day after the Chag, right? With us, 24th is the day after Simchas Torah, but they mm-hmm. the day after Shemini Atzeres was the 23rd. They didn't want to cry. But that's a day that if you can't cry on Yisru Chag, how are you crying on Rosh Hashanah? So this is the Vilna Gaon's proof that one should not be crying on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Now, these are two different things, though. They were crying for an external thing. They were crying for, look how bad bad start we're getting to the Second Temple. Nothing's being built, and all the promises that Haggai made, and that Yirmiyahu made, and Yeshayahu made. This is all it is. It's nothing in our eyes. I'm quoting, paraphrasing Psukim in Tanakh. So they're crying for something else, right? But we're talking about crying because I'm worried that I may not get by this year. I'm crying, you know, who cries more? Someone who never got a bad doctor's appointment 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, right? So that, even that, the Vilna Gaon says not to cry on Rosh Hashanah.
I have a question. So, like on Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast, right? But if you have a bad dream and you're terrified, then...
Oh, it's good that you mentioned this. This is in these sources.
How can you not be, like, terrified on Rosh Hashanah?
If someone fasts on Shabbos because of a bad dream, they have to fast again during the week to make up for shtering Shabbos.
Okay.
heard that, right? Okay. But if someone fasts on Rosh Hashanah because of a bad dream, he doesn't have to fast during the week. Again, we'll see why through these sources. Okay? So I have a machlokus between the Arizal and the Vilna Gaon. Okay?
But what I'm saying is that normally, yes, you can say that Yom Tov should be a happy day, but you have a very good reason. Just
to
like
be
you
fearful.
Can fast on, you know, because when you need to fast, yes, you have to make it up, but necessity requires you that you need to fast. So too on Rosh Hashanah, because Simchas Yom Tov really should be a day of Simcha. Here you have to come.
Oh,
like,
the Tehillah of David gives you a cheshbon, and he's the first one that refers to a menug in the Middle Ages of Jews who would fast on Rosh Hashanah. Some the first day, some both days, and they would only eat at night in between. So, okay, in Echanami, it's because of that Tehillah of David that the codes paskind that if you fast a Tanis Chalom on Rosh Hashanah, you think it's a bad omen that the whole year I'm going to be like my, you know, things we do on Rosh Hashanah serve as simonim for the rest of the year, hence we eat certain foods that are, we'll talk about that during the week, but we eat certain foods that have simonim either in the name of the thing or the nature of the food as a simon for the whole year. It just puts me in the mood, you know, that I'll make the right decisions this year and it'll be a good year as a result. But so for that, because it's Yom David writes that's why the poskim treat of Tanis Chalom on Rosh Hashanah different than the Tanis Chalom on all other days. Where we really should be fasting. Right? Okay, so that's from the Chemia. Alright? Okay, now in source number 4, where it says these are the holidays, okay, Elamodei Hashem Yikrei Kodesh, Asher Tikru Osam B'Mo'adam, and take a look, Rosh Hashanah is listed there, so it's a Yikrei Kodesh. You have to have Simcha like all the other holidays. Alright? Take a look at Bamidbar Perek Yud, source number 6, it says, V'yom Simchaschem, uv'mo'adechem, uv'rashei chodsheichem. In the very least, you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah because it's also Rosh Chodesh. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh either. It's a good day to get married, right? If someone gets married on Rosh Chodesh, which is perfectly allowed, just not Rosh Chodesh, that's Tishrei. So you don't fast that day, right? So some people purposely choose, but that's not unique to Rosh Chodesh. Any day you don't see Tachanun, if you get married that day, you don't fast. Right? Like Mahler also, Tubi Shvat also.
Right? Unless it's Friday, you just don't fast through.
Okay, fine. All right, So that's the Gemara in Shavuot. Staff, you take a look at source number 5. It says, "Amar Yonah Amar Kra, Eila Tassu Al Hashem B'Moadechem." Hikshu Kol Moadim Kulan Zelazeh. All the Moadim have a Hekesh, in the very least for this Inyan, right? And the Sifrei is even Marv Shabbos. Amar Abaye Amar Kra Uvrashechad Shechem. Look to source number 7. Hikshu Kol Chadoshim Kulam Zelazeh. Rav Ashi Amar Ksiv Chad Shechem Uksiv Uvrashay. So I see all this mamarim all over Chazal that say Rosh Hashanah is part of this. Look at all these, this very busy page of sources for you. Right? And the Rambam says, Nachos Yantav. Right? So he's also said, puts in Rosh Hashanah in his list of days that are part of Yantav. Okay?
Fast, you can't fast on the day of
Simcha.
Fasting violates Simcha.
And Echanami, but I'll tell you this: the Torah in Hilchos Shabbos says if you have Simcha or an Oneg from fasting, you shouldn't eat. It's not a din in eating; it's a din in Simcha. So someone, I don't know who that's going to be, but it's other someone who behaves that way. I don't know if there are 5 people in the history of man who are like that. But if that gives that person Oneg.
All
right.
We
okay.
Started doing both
because
we don't eat
till
after we have a
shot. Yeah, right. So we said that before you came.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the sources at the top of this second page are just saying how we have simcha on Yontif, and they're all proving that it has to be with food, preferably meat and wine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So even for men and women,
basar
and yayin. Dogim is that's the slide, but
that's not.
But no, we don't see that because the shlamim is you know simcha, the shalme simcha is meat, so that's how we have simcha. Okay, all right. So and this mission in Maseches Rosh Hashanah speaks of Rosh Hashanah as a day of simcha. I'm just going to mention these out of the box because I'm waiting to just get to one source of Yerushalmi that we're going to get to. All right, so now take a look at where the Rambam talks in Hilchos Chanukah about days that we say Hallel. Look at Halacha Vav. This is source number 14. All right, he talks about all the days we say Hallel, but he says three lines from the bottom. Aval Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim ein b'hem Hallel. We don't say Hallel on those days. B'fi shehem yemei tshuva v'yira u'pachad lo yemei simcha yiseira. Now he says lo yemei simcha yiseira. Yeah. Can we have pachad on the same day that we have simcha?
Yeah.
Is it possible?
Apparently. Yeah. A person can feel.
Good. Beautiful pasuk. It's a pasuk in Perek Beis and Tehillim. Right. So.
People can have many feelings at once.
Right. Okay. So, I feel confident that although it's a nerve wracking day, right. So, Adarabba, we can say that on every yontif. Ketzad, every yontif we're judged on something. Rosh Hashanah makes this clear that on Pesach we're judged on Tvua, on Shavuos on fruit, on Sukkos on Parnasa and war and rain. So every yontif we can theoretically be worried about our judgment. We just have to feel confident that even though I know I did some bad things this year, but I know how tshuva works, and I feel that loving God is there might be circumstance that makes us change. Just lost my job. I just got a bad doctor's report. You know, but what Rosh Hashanah is like, you know, you just took an X-ray, and you don't know what that pain is on your side, and the doctor is looking at it. And he calls another doctor to look at what you think. What do you think that is? And you say, doctor, please, it's Neil already. Tell me what's going on. So you're worried about, or even when you invested an hour into some kind of show where there's a verdict at the end, and you're sort of nervous already because they want to know is it guilty, and you sort of amazing, and then such cases. You know, I remember I was in Kalawar. I was an umpire for a baseball team, and I kid you not, it was 3-2. I'm the umpire. 3-2. This one team is up by one, and it's bases loaded, and it's the bottom of the last inning. The game is over after this, and I say, beg God, please let this kid swing. I don't want to call the next pitch because I lose whatever I call it. But thank God he swung. But because no matter what you do, even if it's right down Broadway, I don't want to call, a walk or a. Or a strikeout. So, judgments are very nerve wracking things. Mm-hmm. You know I'm saying so whether we're judging someone else or someone else is judging us. So how can you be? But the Rambam did write lo yemei simcha yiseira. You can only have halal. Simcha yiseira means extra joy. But there is joy on those days because they yontif. Wait till you see what I have next week for you about Yom Kippur. You will make sure you take a seatbelt so they don't fall off your chair about what some sources say about your kippur.
If we're being judged on the other regalim also in our harvest, so right. Why is that simcha yiseira?
So, it's a good question because harvest is not life. The bad harvest I can deal with, but a bad fourth stage cancer I can't. So I'll deal with that. On one level, this actually enters the corpus of halacha and the question of smichas geulah letfila on yontif. Also, you see, there's a big shagasari on that because on a regular basis we have to be smichas geulah letfila because it's yom tzara. So on the day that's not a yom tzara, are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a day of affliction, if it's not a day of pain, so I have to be smichas geulah letfila because yan chashem biyom tzara is perek chof, hashem tzurigov goli is perek tes. So the two are joined, so on a day that's not a Yom Tzara, I don't have to be something good with you. Right? So that's why Ashkenazim say B'Shamru, because and then we add between the Gula and the Tfila at night, right? And in the morning, the Shagasari discusses why the Rosh says, why do we clap Mashibruch Menegeshem in Musaf, but we should already say in Shacharis. What does the Mishnah say? Only in Musaf we change over. So the Shagasari explains because we have to be Somer Gulu Tefillah in Shacharis. We even the clock. Baruch Hashem Ba Yisrael, you have to start davening. There's no place to clap. At least in Musaf, you finish Kaddish and then you clap Mashi Rufam Nagesh.
So what happens to all the clapping for Yalav Yavo? Is that not really a clap, or is that a clap?
One shouldn't clap Yalav. No, one shouldn't say the words Yalav Yavo. Someone has to say the words Mashi Rufam Nagesh.
Before
you can say it, you have to hear the words before you change over.
Right?
Yeah, you have to be Machar's Machar. Absolutely. That's why Ashkenazim, when the other way, in Pesach, they still say Marida Tova, they still say Mashiach from the Geshem
before
in their silent davening, yeah. Because you can't clap saying, say nothing.
Right.
But Sephardim can clap and say, all right, now you're saying Marida Tova, because you can change to something, you're changing to something else. But Ashkenazim can't clap and say, all right, say nothing now. So you can't change over until you hear a public announcement of it. So Sfardim in their private Shmon Esrei on the first day of Pesach, start saying Morid Atol. Take a look in any sitter. Ashkenazim continue Mashiachim Nageshem in this before Tfilas Tal. Right? So, anyway, the Shagizari asks on the Rush, why are you saying that you can't say Mashiach, you can't say stop and say call out Mashiach Ben Hageshem because you have to be something like Yehud Tefillah? What day is today? Today is Shmini Atzeres. Who says that you have to be something like Yehud Tefillah in Shmini Atzeres? It's not a Yom Tzara. It's only Yom Tzara that you have to be something like Yehud Tefillah. Right? So that's where the Shagasari discusses the Indian of Yehud Tefillah on Shabbos and Yantif. And the Rosh Hashulchan's core was, of course, you have to be something good for Shmini Atzeres. It's still part of a time where you're judged on how much parnasa you're making that year, and therefore it's a yom tzara to the effect that you need to be something good with tefillah. The Vilna Gaon's minhag, and that's a minhag in Israel, is not to say all those additions, even in Maariv. B'shamru, ki bayom hazeh, right? Tiku, bayadaber. We don't say any of those things.
How would you translate Yom Tzara in this context? It sounds it's
more
like
a day of stress.
Yeah.
Worry.
Exactly.
A day of worry.
His Orach HaShulchan, by the way, is Soser himself, because in the, when he explains why Ashkenazim only duchen on Yontif, but not every Shabbos, right? He says because duchening needs a calm spirit. And the Jew is always turbulent in Chutz La'aretz.
Uh-huh.
And the Kohen cannot have the calmness necessary. Apparently, the Sephardim think they're more calm than we are because they do it every day, or some, at least on Shabbos. Some places just on Shabbos, some places every day. I know they're different in Hagim, in your place maybe every day, but in some places just on Shabbos. So, because Shabbos will give them the calmness they need. So, in that area, that the Aruch HaShulchan says, why does most Ashkenazim only do it on Yontif? Because on Yontif, the Simcha of Yontif, and only in Musaf, the Narachav, only in Musaf, because we're talking about the return of the Kavanos and the Mashiach's time. So we have the calmness of spirit to say, to Duchen, that the Kohanim can put out their hands. So there he associates himself. He says, on Shabbos, we don't have the calmness of spirit, but on Yontif we do. But when explaining Smichas Yehud Tefillah, he says that the opposite. He says, on Yontif we're nervous because we're being judged, and on Shabbos, he says, you don't have to be something like Yehud Tefillah. Right? But we do. We do. But that's what we... But anyway, we have a compromise. That's what we... In Maariv, we add things between Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael and Maariv, right? We say B'Shamru, we say... Do you say B'Shamru? No. Probably not.
We say B'Shamru, yeah. But we don't...
But because the Ashkenazim couldn't build shuls in the cities. Christians didn't build shuls. The Muslims let them build shuls in the cities. So the Jews and the Ashkenazic lands had to go way out to the shul in the fields. And the return back was possibly dangerous. So the people who came in late to shul would say that because it has 18, yeah, they had 18 references to God's name. Tosfos Daf Dalet discusses those additions in brachos. So that is the so that explains the difference between. Okay, we're retaping. We're continuing because we lost battery. Same shear on Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So, there's still a din of certainly a simcha on the latter days of Pesach, even though there's a half halach. That could be for separate reasons. The Mishnah in Maseches Moed Katan, source number 15, talks about whether Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur can break a Shiva. Whether it has the power of the other holidays to break a Shiva. Now, the Mishnah has different opinions on this and suggests that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur should be treated differently than the other days. But as far as our custom is, you're correct, is that it does. It does. The Rosh Hashanah can break the Shiva, and then Yom Kippur will break the Shloshim.
Right.
They do have the power of the others, and it goes along with what we're saying here, is that because there's, you know, the joy of those days can forcibly break the Shiva. The Mishnah suggests otherwise because the others entertained other opinions about that. Okay. All right, so the Shiltos of Rabbi Chai Gaon in Parshas Chayesara, when it talks about the Midrashim about Sarah's death, he takes up this issue, and precisely because these issues were directed by the Gaonim, that Yom Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur started to have this aspect to it, that it could break a Shiva. Because the Mishnah suggests that Shavuos doesn't break Shiva, because it's not long enough to break Shiva. Only a 7-day holiday can break Shiva. Mm. Right? But he says, no, all 5 holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all the holidays break Shiva. It's interesting that there's something we don't do on Rosh Hashanah that we do on all the other holidays that make it a solemn day. A solemn day of crying. People cry on the other 4 holidays that they're not doing in Rosh Hashanah.
We have
even though
there's no Yizkor in Rosh Hashanah. Because we do it on Yom Kippur. So it's like
Kippur,
attached.
So it's like Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur like Aseret one to the other. They're attached because we have our Gemaras on Rosh Hashanah. If we deserve it. Every one of us should think that maybe I didn't have my Gemara, I didn't have my finishing judgment, and I need till Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur finishes Rosh Hashanah. Also, Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaZikaron. So the whole day is Yizkor.
They're also like Minhagim. People go to like visit graves. I think that rabbis realize that you don't have to remind someone to remember the dead before Rosh Hashanah. Right. You're going. A lot of people from Rosh Chodesh Elul, they're going to visit the Kfarim.
And we don't say that in Yom Kippur, but we say that in Rosh Hashanah because the whole essence, I mean, the Torah calls it Yom HaZikaron. So I mean, that's what we call it in our davening.
They don't go like once the holidays start because that makes you sad.
Elul,
but they go the whole month of Elul. Some people go.
No.
They go from Elul to Rosh Hashanah. Some people go often, not even
that
just
source,
once.
That's what Tosfos says. It's Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud-Ches. Remember the guy who got into a fight with his wife and he went to sleep in the cemetery.
What?
Because he gave staka and his wife got angry with him because he gave staka. And he slept in the basic forest, and he heard the spirits talking. Yeah, like went up
to the and you just get sent down to the couch.
So it says that the story took place in the Erev Rosh Hashanah. So it says from here we have been who going to the cemetery in Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why do they go to the cemetery of all places? Okay, so the Ran in source number 17 of Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes talks about why we don't say Halal in Rosh Hashanah.
After Chazos it shouldn't go right.
Yeah, because I have to put sauces on Friday also, because simply because you can't say Kiyom Olam. Well, why would you go to the cemetery to not be able to do things you're going there for? Right? All right, so the Ran and the Mordechai, sources 17 and 18, both refer to this question. All right, I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to just review. I'm going to read it from the Mordechai standpoint, which is 18. Simtav Shin Ches in Rosh Hashanah. It says, Ma'ul Yisanus B'Rosh Hashanah. V'heshiv B'Rosh Hashanah. He's quoting Rabbeinu Nachshon Gaon. Mm-hmm. He says, Rosh Hashanah Osu Yisanus Bein Midivrei Torah Bein Midivrei Kabbalah Bein Midbraisa Bein Midtalmud. There's no source that can tell you that you should fast on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Midivrei Torah Minayin L'fishu. I can show you from all these sources that you're not on the fast. Midivrei Torah Minayin L'fishu Kalul im Shara Moados, Uksipre Mikra Kodesh. Now these are arguments that we made all along, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we need to review all of them. But this is a review of practically everything we said. He said proof sold over. Or how about Nesebe Nechemia that the Vilna Gaon brought? He said don't cry today. All right. Again, wait till you see what we have for next week. All right. The Yireim, The Urayim says, "B'moa dechem arviyana hukshu kolam odoas." You see what I'm reading? The underlying portion, source number 19. V'yom Kippurim afapishu bichlal hamoadim eino bichlal simcha. Toksiv baby nisim es nafshu seichem. V'lamadu gam bizeh sheberosh chodesh osu lisanus. V'chayav adam lismoach bo. And Rosh Hashanah, of course, is Rosh Chodesh. We made that argument before as well. Right? The Tzofos Reim, which is a commentary to the Urayim, Rabbi Elazar Remetz shortly after the Rambam, and he says that Rosh Hashanah adifim Rosh Chodesh. He says Rosh Hashanah certainly shouldn't fast. You can't fast on any of the other Rosh Chodesh, but certainly on Rosh Hashanah. Question: if you fast on Rosh Chodesh for a dream, do you have to fast again during the week like Shabbos? Remember that question we had before? Mm-hmm. So the answer is no. No, Rosh Chodesh does not have that din. Shabbos does. Sukkos and Pesach and Shavuos does. Chol HaMoed does not. Right? But Rosh Hashanah also does not because of the Chiddush of Betilah Davar I mentioned before. Okay, so the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov says, Shiva Yemei HaPesach U'Shmonus Yemei HaChag Im Sh'or Yomim Tovim Kulam Asurim Behesped V'Tanis V'Chayav Adam Liyos Bahem Sameach. Here he says, pretty clear here, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, all the other Yomim Tovim, you have to be happy. At least be specific? No. Surely Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. Right? And the Rambam in Perish HaMishnah says, "Bishas Hal Lufi Shelo Yu Koren Halal Lo BeRosh Hashanah BeLoyim Kippurim Lufi Sheihem Yemei Avoda VeHachnaa UPachad UMora." You see what I'm reading? 22. VeYira Mimenu Umim Right Umim Rech Menos Elav UTshuva VeTachanunim UBakasha Kapara USlicha VeChol Elu Hanyonim Eino Hagun HaSchok VeHasimcha. Oh my goodness! Sounds a little like the Arizal, no?
He didn't
speak this way earlier when he talked to Simchi Yisera. But this way closes the door. Perish HaMishnah, the Rabbi wrote much earlier.
Perish HaMishnah,
his youth. Some say he was as young as 19 when he wrote this. So he wrote this very early, and he wrote the Mishnah Torah much later. So when the Perish HaMishnah, which sometimes contradicts the Mishnah Torah, we always choose the Mishnah Torah. But here he's writing very very harshly, the harshness of sort of a zealous youth. All these terminologies, mm-hmm. Right? So let's look at the codes.
A lot of that. A lot of that in terms of
there's a lot of contradictions.
Huh? Okay. Well, when he was younger, he was right. Away from Spain.
Okay, so recently I talked about the Rambam about not being supported when you're learning Torah. What do you think he was? How do you think he wrote all these works? His brother supported him, right? But that's different. There's one thing, in the family. It's one thing, the family support, but don't get support from the community. Rambam was very much against supporting Torah learning.
He didn't do anything else besides write Svara?
No, early on in his life, he was prolific.
In medical school.
But wasn't he a doctor?
Yeah, he did all that. His brother supported him. And that well dried up after a certain time, but anyway, he writes in his Torah very, very much against Zechil Hashem. But anyway, there are some famous examples of these things. What he's doing. Orachaim Simatav Kuf Tzadik Zayin Imutol Isanis Barshonim. Right, it's right here on the table. So it's Shulchan Aruch. The table is set. Let's learn. Ochlim v'shosim v'smeichim v'ein misanin b'Rosh Hashanah. There you go. Shulchan Aruch chose to paskin very clearly in favor of. All right, and then for us it's the day after B'lo b'Shav Shuvah. All right, ein misan b'Rosh Hashanah and not Shav Shuvah. Amnam lo yuchlu kol sivam leman lo yakelu roshav tia yiras Hashem alpneihem. But don't be any other day of that you're allowed to have kalas rosh. I mean, no. But on Yom Tov, you can get drink a little extra wine more than usual, but not on Rosh Hashanah. Don't you can have Rosh Hashanah have a simple honey cake. The other days you have a more glorious kind of cake. But anyway, so he says, but be careful because it is a day of Yira.
Is that why we fast until after we hear the shofar?
It's interesting because we're getting,
we're
getting
a combination.
But the yeshiva shavel, I think we talked about before you came, is we're all eating. They all get a stop after Shacharis to eat so that they're not fasting.
Uh-huh.
And there were others who were very much against it. They said, you can't eat until you hear the shofar. And once you hear the shofar, when are you going to break then? You hear the shofars. The only best thing to do is to have a nice early minyan and make sure you finish by then. Especially now with daylight savings, it's 1:05, you know, even. It's doable.
In that case, Mendrishan for ourselves, they actually stopped after Chris, or before, right before
they
stopping like, the chakras.
They had Kiddush.
Right after the Haftarah, they had Kiddush between the Haftarah
and Kiddush. Right, still before shofars.
Right.
Once you start shofars, you're sort of locked into finishing. So, what we will, in Mitzvah Shem, we hope to do here, the first day, because there's Tashlich and there's Mincha, so we want to daven and finish just at the earliest second you can daven Mincha. So we go right into Mincha. Right? Right into Mincha. And I think davening into the lane, I'm not sure. Just finish go right into Mincha. But on the second day, especially since it's Erev Shabbos, we want to taco finish before Chatzos. Try it.
In case
we'll try.
You have to cook for Shabbos.
Especially, yeah. You use that Erev Tavshilin, you know. Okay. All right, so... That's the Shulchan Aruch at the top. That's the Mechaber. The Ramah writes at the bottom, right? He quotes this halacha I mentioned to you before. That if you fast the Tanis Chalon, right? On Rosh Hashanah, Ein, Da, Yishamim, the Mitzvah, the Sanis, Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to fast. You see what's at the bottom? The
last one?
Yeah.
The second one.
What's...
Right. Who's he quoting? The Tila Dove that I mentioned before. Right. Yeah. So, the mitzvah lisanus Rosh Hashanah. That's the Tila Dove, yeah. The enomim manenu b'Rosh Hashanah, k'moshe enomim b'Yom Kippur. If you are fasting on Rosh Hashanah, don't say anenu when you're davening. The whole davening is anenu. Right? Okay? Alright, so the Shat Yisariyeh gives us interesting rayas on both sides, okay? I just gave you two columns from different parts of his tshuva. And he basically comes up with the same point is that Shalachor Yesh Labi Raya Mikan Shein Rosh Hashanah Gishari Yamim Tovim, the Sorbo Tanis, Mishum Shem Yontif, Ela Mishum Rosh Cholish Bavai. The reason why we're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah is not because it's a Yontif. It's a special kind of Yontif. It's going to be a Yontif 10 days later where we are fasting, hello, right? So that's also Yontif. But the reason why you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah is because it's Rosh Chodesh. He brings the rayas from the various sources. Okay? And he says, this famous Chedesh of the Shag Yisari, that it's not because of Simchas Yontif, it's because of Rosh Chodesh that you're not allowed to fast on. Okay, so now of course we have a hector of Ochel Nefesh on Rosh Hashanah, like on all the other holidays. We don't have a hector of Ochel Nefesh. You can't carry on Yom Kippur outside of an Eruv, because the whole reason why you can carry on the other Yom Tovim is because of Ochel Nefesh. We talk Shutra Litzorach Ochel Nefesh, Shutra Nami Shalom Litzorach Ochel Nefesh. Right? You have to carry a key, a book, as long as it's some kind of Tzorach of Yontif. By the way, I always. It's a good time to say it. I always try Chaybekayim against carrying crumbs to throw in the water on Fatashlich. It may be a violation of Yontif. Why? Because since many poskim speak against the minug, it's a bad minug. A, you're not allowed to feed fish that aren't yours on Yontif. If they're fish there, you're feeding fish that aren't yours, and that's a violation in itself. B, it gives a false impression that you can throw something in the water and it'll be free of your sins. C, that's not what Tashlich is about. Originally, Tashlich was about recreating Yitzchok. Right? This thing about throwing your sins in was a much later addition.
Where did it come from?
Because they started to put Pesachim from Micha, v'sashlich b'mitzulos yom, kol chatosam. God will throw our sins, not we throw it in, God will throw our sins in the water, it says Micha. So that's where the ritual got to be named Tashlich from this Pesach. Right? So, plus, if it's carrying without a purpose, then the carrying itself is a violation of Yontif. If you carry something on Yontif, Shalol, it's a klal, it's a violation of Yontif. So, if someone carries breadcrumbs to throw on the water on Tashlich, they have to say a new Tashlich afterwards for the sin of their Tashlich. Plus, in my eyes, what we do at the Hudson River is a big Chilul Hashem. Big Chilul Hashem. In 95th Street, there's a large gathering of people, and you look in the water, it's
so
dirty. Full loaves people throw in. Full bilkalach. They don't just throw in a little crumb. They're full, and when all the Jews leave, it's disgusting there. They're leaving behind, you know. Hopefully, they're not throwing in like trash, but they're throwing in. It looks like a just disgusting.
Well, this is Central Park.
All right, fine. There's someone who will eat it, but it's really not right. People walking by see these strange looking caps on, and men and women throwing water off, throwing bread. At least try to explain yourself. You know? People wonder what is this pagan ritual they're doing. Throwing rolls and muffins and
what do you do for Tashma?
You just
walk to the water and I do what the Ramah says to do. I do this. I open up my pockets and see Kodesh Baruch Hu, nothing in my pockets. I'm empty of sin, and you know, that's what the Ramah says to do. You have to throw something in because it says Sashlich Mitzvos Yam. I don't know. But you know, Minhagim die hard. Matzis HaShekel goes crazy on this. He says, I get up every Rosh Hashanah and I beg that please don't throw the bread in the water.
Apparently the Kotzker said if Torah was a minute, everyone would keep it.
That's why Rabbi Tam, I think it's quoted in the name of the Rukei Choso, said that Minov is Osios Gehenim.
What's the history? How long has the tradition
why not go like
as early as
bread
by the way, the Minov of Tashlich is not so old. The first person to ever mention the idea altogether. Besides Nehemiah, of course, you know, he's before Sharamayim, is the 1500s, the Maril. No one even mentions the name of it, or what it is. He just writes, there's a minute to go to a body of water to recreate Abraham on his journey towards the Yitzchak, where our rabbis say that they went to a body of water.
What body of water is between?
The Satan made it up. It's the Satan turned himself into a body of water, it says in the Medrash.
It's not in the text.
It's
the Medrash.
It's meant.
There's no water between.
There's not. It's just that the Satan, it says, when he couldn't convince Abram not to do it through logic, through compassion,
he tried to put an obstacle.
Put an obstacle. So the question is, what obstacle prevents us from doing God's bidding? We make excuses. It's raining. It's snowing. That's what we're talking about.
But it's also mentioned
about.
No, I was just asking because the coronation.
That's also a later minhag. That the kings used to be have coronation in their body of water, like Shlomo. Right, so we should be the malchus should be flowing. That's found
in the middle of the field, no?
There are moments in this.
David's coronation was in the middle of.
David's coronation was in the.
It was private.
Private. It was done in
the secret.
All
right.
It was like in the middle of the field.
Where was Shaul's? That one was public.
Where the minhag of throwing crumbs? I mean, okay, let's go down to the water and just recite some sukkim, but dafka throwing breadcrumbs? Where's.
I just said this, Ashlich ben Mitzvot Yom, Kochato Sam, why bread?
I'm going to
throw like.
I mean,
maybe bread.
It's kochashvis. It's feeding animals that aren't yours. It's a toshalo, it's a klal. And this guy is piling up the averos on Rosh Hashanah. What's going on here? Okay, so.
An
Erev,
usually.
So the in Erev and Daf Mem, the Gemara discusses whether we should say Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Huh?
Can I say Shechianu b'kiyamanu b'kiyamu as manazet to this day where I might have a decree to die? How can I say Shechianu on such a day? Now, we used that excuse earlier for why we can't say Hallel on such a day. But the Gemara's conclusion is that we do.
Wouldn't Halal and Shechianu have the same status?
Halal is Zehayom Asa Hashem Nogila V'Nismachabo. It means a little more.
It seems very much like what you mentioned before about losing a parent and inheriting a large sum of money. That the two aspects are very much there.
And we don't say Shechianu during the whole 3 weeks because how can you say Shechianu at the time when we're remembering the Chorban? Right? But the novel during Shabbat does say Shechen. Even the fruit, you shouldn't wait. It would be foolish for him to say Shechen on a new garment that he has to now cut. But if it's for a parent, I guess. But if it's a new fruit, the novel says Shechen. Right? Okay, so let's just let's close shop here on page 5. The more I give you more Rishonim, let me really piled it on here for you. It's source number 33. Let's just close it up with this. Moshe Sternbach has Shalit Chubas van Hagos. This is the second chilek. Mm. Now it's the fourth halakim. It says Bechiyah be Rosh Hashanah. Crying on Rosh Hashanah. Shalti Lefarish Dibri HaKadosh HaRizal Shinag with Kos Rosh Hashanah. The first source we started with today, right? Bechumor Bechere Heitev. See it? Says Sivkot Beis, but it's actually Sivkot Gimel. Right? If you're not crying Rosh Hashanah, you don't have a good and full soul. Now I assure you that if you won a lottery the day before Tisha B'Av of $100 million, you'd be happy on Tisha B'Av. Something amazing happened to you. You know, you're allowed to get engaged on Tisha B'Av. No day of the year you're not allowed to get engaged. Not allowed to get married on many days of the year. But your own marriage. But you're allowed to get engaged on Tisha B'Av. So let's say you've been waiting so long for this guy to finally pop the question. And for some strange reason, I had once performed a kiddushin for a couple and he got engaged on Tisha B'Av. I said, it's Shema Yakimeno, I don't think applies today. By the time you get around to saying, well, you married me, you're pretty well sure, hopefully, that she's not going to entertain a proposal from someone else, for goodness sakes. Time of the Gemara, maybe, you know, she might be thinking him, or maybe even him. Or, so the first good offer she gets,
unless
she's going
to
take.
Unless she's entertaining to read, according to the Malam.
With Malam, yeah, of course. So the Roa and the, that's a beautiful parish. Alright, so Roa and the King. So if someone asks you to get married at Tisha B'Av and you've been waiting, for a long time for him to pop the question and you're so happy, what kind of Tisha B'Av is that going to, especially if he asks you right at the beginning of Tisha B'Av?
Yes.
What kind of Tisha B'Av is that person going to have? Right? but you see that there are other things outside of the Rosh Hashanah feeling itself. What was going on there at that time was some joy about the return that happened to take place on Rosh Hashanah, which is the coincide with the time they went there. And he's saying, this is not the time for Avelus. Right? But they weren't crying because of Rosh Hashanah. They were crying because what they were experiencing now didn't seem to jive with what the prophets had told them about the return to Yerushalayim. So you see, let's not mix pickles here. We're talking about, can someone who just had an extremely joyous event the day before Rosh Hashanah, right? It might be a little harder. I mean, remember, things have gone so well for me, the kids are going fine, everything's going great, and then that problem I had before is going great. I mean, all right, but here, the Torah says, let me just conclude with this. The Torah says if someone doesn't cry when saying Tachanun, they have a heavy heart. They're hard-hearted. Oh yeah, I don't remember crying when I said Tachanun. So because the Mishnah says every day we should imagine is our last day. Hmm. Now make this day count. Now don't go around obsessing like that, because then you'll have no joy whatsoever. But at least for one moment, think, what would I do today if it was my last day? Hmm. And that's what the Torah means. That's what we're supposed to say at Tachanun. Think when? Ki ein ba'mave sichrecha v'sh'ol mi'odelach. Every day we're supposed to feel that way. Hashem is judging us every day. So just for that moment, Chapatir, think what would it be like if it was my last day? I better call that person and say I'm sorry, you know. So do it every day. All right, may make it a little tight, but no, that's why on certain days you just can't say tachanun. If I'm in the presence of a chassan, I just can't say tachanun. So many days we talk it on. That's why many Hasidim never say tachanun, because they're just so simple. Oh, I'm so happy. But every day they're happy, so they can't say tachanun because they can't imagine themselves dying. Anyway, so the Moshe Sternbach, then mentions the Vilna Gaon afterwards. You know, we said before the Maaseh Rav, right? He says, "L'dati ha'dvarim pshutim u'brurim." I am. It's so obvious to me. "Mitfilah b'vaday roi livkosh she'oz atfilah miskavela." So Hakadosh Baruch Hu mismal lechem l'kavur b'zara kadosh shalt Moshe Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'machosh. He says they're both right. Are you going to tell me that the first two sources we read, such a dichotomy, and two great Jewish thinkers, and the Arizal and the Vilna Gaon are basic minhagim in Eretz Yisrael, right? Lubavitch and I think the Sfaradim take basically, even though the Arizal was an Ashkenaz, is that the Arizal is so important to Sfaradim. If he disagrees with the Mechaber, it's just two Rabbonim. If you disagree with the Mechaber, the Paskin like him, the Chido and the Arizal. That's it. So the Arizal says that you have to cry Rosh Hashanah. The Vilna Gaon says you can't cry in Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, they're talking about the same thing. They're in agreement. The Arizal is talking about during davening, when you're hearing the shofar. And the Vilna Gaon is saying when you go home and you're dressed in your white garments. And I can't believe it. Are they giving you a Yerushalmi here? Are they Yerushalmi? I think I have it in the next week's year. Famous Yerushalmi. You know what I'm talking about, right? Everyone quotes. Yerushalmi says, "Mikam Chol Yisrael Goyachot Baaretz." Who is like my people? They're judged as a group, and they're wearing white clothes on Rosh Hashanah, and they go home and eat honey cake, and they go home and eat the finest foods, and they're sure that their God is going to give them a good judgment because they heard the shofar, and they were serious and sure, and they meant well. They may in a half hour change all that, but right now they feel it. Basher Husham. Right now they feel that's what they just read in shul about you. But Ishmael, who cares what he's going to do later? Because I know I'm going to be here next year saying the same thing. I should get an Oscar for my acting here. But I mean well right now. So that's Mikam Chol Yisrael, that we feel that way. So he may make peace between all the sources we just saw, is that, yes, in davening, behave like the Arizal. When you finish davening and you sing Kaddish with afterwards, remember with the beautiful tune, the free tune that we can use at that point. I love it.
Maybe they're talking to two different kinds of people. The person that's inclined to be almost like silly and joyful, that's the person that needs to be told to cry. The person that's fearful and
this is difficult. A person gets a bad doctor's appointment the day before Purim. You think he's going to have a joyful Purim? You know, for the rest of his life, he's going to associate Purim with that bad report. Right? So it says, if though that bad report, and they tell you, oh goodness, no, this is a... And have a long battle with it. It's almost like the day of death is not as bad as the day they heard that report. Right? If you have, some family members, but we hear such things, you know. The doctors like to, to give you the most grim, the amount of time they have. And all, right? So okay, we can't. It's hard to disconnect those personal events that's the Mikam Chol Yisrael. That's how we are. We have joy on these days, even if
Right, but for people who suffer losses that aren't Derech HaOlam, this is a very hard time of year.
Yeah.
They get very, very depressed.
Right. Reverend's talking about it. Yes. Someone we know lost his son, Nebuch, and around this time of year. Always very, they associate that with it. Again, it's very hard to have a
good It's like hard to put one foot in front of the other to get by the time when you know all these holidays and you're supposed to be happy because inside you don't feel happy. Even though the rest of the year you could
say it's very hard. Imagine what it's like. I knew that in the beginning of Shavuos that my mother passed away. We had a certain deal with the doorman, and he told me your mother left the hospital. That was the nurse's way of telling the doorman, so that I would get shomrim. She was taken straight to Riverside. So we had shomrim for the whole Yom Tov, I didn't want him to be alone, and I needed to know. So I knew right at the beginning, no one in Shul knew. 2 days. And I even asked, Baruch Hashem, there was another Rav in the Shul that I really revere, was Meir's father. And I said, listen, Hamebi Nyavin, I want you to get the Aliyah for a service of Dibros. You know, people, if someone else gets the Aliyah, just a Stama Balabas, they're going to say, what, Rabbi, get 25 years in a row, he gets that Aliyah, why did he get this? And then people might think, you know. But if he got the Aliyah, they said, oh, I gave the Aliyah to a Rav, visiting Rav. So, anyway, halachically, I was not bound by any restrictions because not just
it was
because yantar. Yeah, that's one for sure. But
they don't start till after burial.
No, but because no, there's aninus before burial. But because the person who told me was not reliable aiders.
They weren't there. They didn't see it.
No, it was not halachic aiders. Oh, whatever the reason is, you know, it was the doorman who heard a phone call. What does that mean? Halachically, I'm saying. They say Rav Chaim heard that his father passed away by reading the paper.
Oh my God.
Right? His father, you know, was a shigul in Russia. He was a little famous. So he's reading the paper and he said, but he did not behave aninus until he got what he felt was halachic shmua that his father died. Paper is not a shmua. I mean, sometimes the paper writes something and they have to detract. Dewey wins and then they find out he didn't win. So he didn't keep aninus. Until he heard from reliable halachic testimony. So that's why, you know, I was still during Shavuos, I was able to, even if there is a chash that there is aninus on yantif in such a situation, but there isn't, because I had no pekala, I had no burden. Burden started after yantif was over. And then kavod hameis, a question of whether that applies on yantif or not. But, okay.
Could you bury someone on the second day of Yantif? Not on Rosh Hashanah, because everyone keeps 2 days.
The thing is that in America they were doing that until recently.
Sadler and Breuers.
They still do, I think.
There was a famous rabbi who died in Bar Park, and there was a funeral on the second day of Yantif.
The one where they saw her, that girl during a fire.
I remember that. It was in the papers. Yeah. Okay. I believe we didn't do that. Okay, Trevor, we'll be back. And